Dad, I have a question. What is a class action lawsuit? Hi, everybody. I'm Luke.
I'm Spencer.
And on today's episode of Dad, I Have a Question, we're going to be talking about a class action lawsuit.
So, Luke, why did you ask about this?
So, you were talking to me about a check that you got in the mail for 63 cents from AT&T. And you said it was because of a class action lawsuit related to AT&T. So we decided we'd talk more about that on the podcast.
Exactly.
So, Dad, what's a class action lawsuit?
Okay, so I'm holding a check here made out to me for 63 cents. So let's come back to that in a minute. Okay, so a normal lawsuit is when an individual sues another person, right? Because they've been wronged for some reason, okay? But a class action lawsuit is when a group of people, at least 40 or more, usually tens of thousands of people, sue usually a company because they've been wronged altogether. So, and that group of people is called a class. And so this check that I got for 63 cents is because there was a class action lawsuit against AT&T mobility, people who have AT&T cell phones. And so there was some, I actually don't even remember what it was, but it was like they weren't properly disclosing the amount of taxes that you were paying with your cell phone bill or something. And so there was a class action lawsuit where a law firm filed a lawsuit against AT&T, and anybody who had an AT&T cell phone could sign up to be a member of that class.
So how did you become involved with this lawsuit? Was it automatic or
good question.
How does one signify themselves as part of a class?
Yeah, good question. I got a notification from the law firm, and what happens is when the law firm petitions the court to create this class, then usually everybody that could be in the class has to get notified by the company. So in this case, this law firm like filed a lawsuit, convinced some judge that maybe AT&T was doing something wrong, and the judge agreed that the class should be certified. And then the judge said, okay, AT&T has to give you the information about, you know, the mailing address of every person that's in the class. And I got something in the mail that says, hey, fill out this form. You know, we're all suing AT&T because they did something wrong. And if we win or if there's a settlement, meaning that if AT&T settles, like they reach a compromise and and the trial stops, then you'll get paid some amount.
So I do remember a class action lawsuit related to Fortnite, I believe, a couple of years back, where anyone who played, or I think it was anyone who had an account, was entitled to some sort of I do remember reading about that. So that would be an example of a class action lawsuit.
It happens all the time. It's usually people against a company when the company does something bad, and you know, there are pros and cons. Usually, by the way, I almost never sign up for these things. I don't remember why I chose this. This would have been a couple of years ago that I signed up to be a part of the class of this AT&T cell phone thing. I was probably upset about whatever it was that they were being sued over. But these things happen all the time. Like a really common one would be like if there's product negligence, like for example, remember when there, I know we talked about Peloton recently, but remember when there was that situation where Peloton, like treadmills were injuring people? Like,
yeah.
Okay. So, what I'm sure happened was that a bunch of plaintiff's attorneys, which means like lawyers that usually represent, people that sue companies, they would have filed a lawsuit against Peloton that said that Peloton was being negligent in how they manufactured the treadmills. And anybody who had a treadmill could sign up to be part of that class. And then there would be a couple year like negotiation and discovery, which means like people testify and they go through documents and stuff. And then eventually at the end of this whole thing, there would be some sort of a settlement or a verdict and the members of the class would get paid their portion.
So because individuals through lawyers obviously have the ability to sue someone, why would a normal lawsuit against a company turn into a class action
lawsuit?
Why couldn't someone just sue AT&T for saying, I don't know what this one was, but that you AT&T had negligence and they keep the payout for themselves?
It's a great question. So basically they've created this concept of class action to simplify things, because if they were like tens of thousands of individual people suing AT&T for basically the same thing, it would like clog up the court system and it would just create a lot of time and like money wasted. So the point of a class action is it like combines all of these similarly situated, that's a term that you sometimes hear in class action, people who are similarly situated into one single class. So it like consolidates it for the benefit of everybody involved, for the benefit of the plaintiff, so the people suing, for the benefit of the defendant, like the company, so they don't have to defend themselves tens of thousands of times, for the benefit of the courts.
So who would be the who's the plaintiff in this case then? So as a class action lawsuit,
good question.
Who starts?
They have to find a lead plaintiff. So the plaintiff's law firm literally finds one guy or gal, like, or one person, and that's the lead plaintiff. And that person doesn't really do anything any different from the other tens of thousands of people in the class. But technically speaking, it's like one person. And then they certify the class from there. So somewhere here, like there's this website in this check here. You see it says www.attmsettlement.com. So AT&T Mobile Settlement.com. I bet if you went there, you would see who the actual lead plaintiff was on this class action lawsuit.
So that person, would you say that person is contacted by the law firm, or would you say that the law firm, would you say that the person gets in contact with the law firm, or how does this issue come to light?
So this is closely related to these stock drop cases that we've sometimes talked about. Remember we've said that like sometimes when a company's stock price goes way down, people sue about it to say that, like, you know, they were misled or the company did something wrong. So you'll if you're looking on Yahoo News, for example, or sorry, Yahoo Finance, like checking your stocks, for example, if a stock goes down a lot, you'll see a press release from a law firm that says, like, you know, XYZ law firm is looking for a lead plaintiff in a class action, a potential class action lawsuit against, you know, company XYZ for its stock price going down so much. So basically, the answer to your question is the plaintiff's law firms, like they find
issues that they want to sue over.
Exactly, and so this is one of the big negatives of class action lawsuits is that the people who basically win are the lawyers, the plaintiff's lawyers. I mean, the class wins too, but typically a plaintiff's law firm would get like a quarter or maybe even a third or sometimes as much as a half of the entire amount of the class action winnings.
And how does that compare to what a lawyer would normally receive?
It's way more. It's way, way more because frequently these settlements are like billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars.
Because of the number of people they affect.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the plaintiff's lawyers would say, hey, we invested many, many, many thousands or tens of thousands of hours like without getting paid.
They're
taking a huge risk. And only,
they don't recover anything if they don't recover exactly. any money if they lose.
And they would also say that, you know, you're welcome, class. If it weren't for us that put this lawsuit together, you wouldn't get anything. And, you know, we went and we improved the company. We convinced, you know, AT&T to more properly disclose the taxes that you're paying on their cell phone bill. Or we convinced Peloton to make their treadmills more safe. Or we convinced, you know, a car company to make sure that the seatbelts aren't defective or, you know, whatever it is that they're suing about. So, you know, plaintiff's attorneys would say that they play a very important role in these class action lawsuits are very important.
And how generally is a lead plaintiff selected? Does that make them different? Is the lead plaintiff different from the rest of the class?
No, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. The lead plaintiff is just a...
In terms of recovery, for example?
That's a good question. It's possible that the plaintiff's attorney gives the lead plaintiff a little bit more, but I don't think they can. I think that every member of the class that's similarly situated has to get the same amount.
I'm sure sometimes it's proportional to like amount of how they've been wronged.
Okay, that is definitely true. That is definitely true. So... I know someone, for example, whose house was burned down in a wildfire. Okay. And there was a plaintiff, there was a class action lawsuit against, PG&E, the, electric utility that, these people thought were responsible for this wildfire that burned all these houses. And, there was a settlement between the class action and PG&E for many, many billions of dollars. This is all, you can Google this. But the way that settlement, once it was like agreed upon by all the parties, by the plaintiff's lawyers and by PG&E and by the court, it then had to be divvied out. Okay, so the plaintiff's attorneys, they got, I think it was a third, which was billions of dollars. And then the remaining two-thirds had to be given out to the members of the class. How? Well, based on how much they lost in the fire.
And who decides that?
The court in that case. The court.
I'm thinking of a similar to a sentencing hearing, for example, where once someone has been convicted as guilty of a crime, then there's a separate hearing to sort of figure out what their sentence requires.
Yes. The judge in that case, they appointed like a committee of a couple former judges to review every individual situation and figure out how much they lost. Like, you know, was it, you know, how nice was their home? Did they have insurance? You know, how much damage did they receive?
In that situation, is the payout that they're receiving proportional to what they lost, or is it proportional to I'll give you an example. Let's say that to just a way, way, way simplify, even though there'd probably be hundreds of people in a class action lawsuit, if there were only three, right? Mm-hmm. And one person was wronged the most, out of the payout, maybe they receive 50%, right?
Yes.
But is that 50% more based on a percentage of the possible payout, or is it how much they lost within the fire, right? So 50% represents...
It's really a percentage of the possible payout, because it's zero sum, meaning that like the total dollar amount that's available to all the members of the class is a fixed amount, and then all the members of the class have to kind of, you know, fight for it in a
way. And also, I just realized that there are certain class action lawsuits where people might not have necessarily lost money.
Yes.
Like you were just misled by the company, I suppose.
Exactly. Exactly. Like
I assume that's what the AT&T settlement was.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's how class action lawsuits work, what they are, the kind of the pros and cons of class action lawsuits. I mean, there are a lot of pros, but there are also some cons. And how they work. So you want to wrap up and explain what are class action lawsuits?
Yeah, so a class action lawsuit is when a group of lawyers takes one group that has been wronged in some way and groups them all together to make it easier for a legal proceeding. So they choose a lead plaintiff who will be the head plaintiff, essentially. And then they sue and they get a certain amount of money that they're allowed to pay out to each person in this class who they've all been wronged in a similar way.
Perfect. Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.